Hello and welcome to this start-stop reflection from St. Stephen Warbrook. My name is Meg Post. Our reading this week is from the first chapter of the Book of Ruth, reading from the New English Bible. Long ago, in the time of the judges, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the Moabite country with his wife and his two sons. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, so that she was left with her two sons. These sons married Moabite women, one of whom was called Orpah and the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years when Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was bereaved of her two sons as well as her husband. Thereupon she set out with her two daughters-in-law to return home, because she had heard, while still in the Moabite country, that the Lord had cared for his people and given them food. So, with her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and took the road home to Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back home, both of you, to your mother's homes. May the Lord keep faith with you as you have kept faith with the dead and with me. And may he grant each of you security in the home of a new husband." She kissed them, and they wept aloud. Then they said to her, "We will return with you to your own people." But Naomi said, "Go back, my daughters. Why should you go with me?" Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law and returned to her people. But Ruth clung to her. "You see," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." "Do not urge me to go back and desert you," Ruth answered. "Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried." The Book of Ruth was probably written about 500 years before the time of Christ, and it describes the harsh life of a widow in an even earlier period. The story of Ruth is a short moral tale, showing a deed of faith, caring and love rewarded, and it is also thought of as a comment on God's goodness extended beyond the covenant people, and the acceptance of a Gentile converting to Judaism. In the introduction to her book, The Women of Holy Week, beautifully illustrated by Ali Barrett, Paula Gooder comments on the Bechdel test, which asks whether, in the work of fiction, two women, preferably named, have a reasonably long, meaningful conversation about something other than a man. She points out that although there must often have been women present in the narratives of the Bible, they are rarely mentioned, let alone named. This passage from the story of Ruth is a clear exception. It is an account of a moment of life-changing decision taken on the road from Moab to Bethlehem, when Ruth was unable to leave the mother-in-law she loved to undertake a difficult journey and an uncertain new life alone, and was determined to accompany her to an unknown future, away from her own family, culture, and religion. There was a moment of looking back and looking forward. Orpah chose one way and Ruth the other. Later in the story, gleaning in a cornfield to collect food for her mother-in-law and herself after the harvest reapers, Ruth meets Boaz, a relative of her late father-in-law, Elimelech. They marry and have a son, Obed, the grandfather of David, and therefore one of Jesus' ancestors. There are countless occasions of personal decision in the stories of the Bible, when individuals can listen to God and follow his instructions, or choose not to. Then, as now, in a world of fear, uncertainty, greed and hatred, there have always been opportunities for individual decisions to care, to support, share, love and give generously. The church calendar gives us a number of times during the year to pause, look back and reflect. We can look forward and decide to make the changes, or we can leave them and pass them by. Shrove Tuesday is one of those days, poised between winter and summer, and just as Lent is about to begin. It was traditionally the last opportunity to make a confession and receive absolution before Lent started. In the UK, it is a day for looking back at the short, dark days of winter, which are already beginning to lengthen, and the few winter flowers suddenly supplemented by the colours of summer. As Christians, we plan how best to use the weeks of Lent to make a renewed connection with God in whatever ways are appropriate for us personally. By fasting, by study and prayer, or by making a greater commitment of time or money to those who need our support, those close to us, those known to us, those whose names we do not know, but whose circumstances we are aware of. The last 2 years have made changes in all our lives. We look back and recenter, picking up what we have neglected and integrating what we have learned. Shrove Tuesday is also a folk festival when we hope the weather allows us to meet outside. Indoor pancake races tend to involve a lot of clearing up, and we may be at the beginning of renewed relationships in our communities with people we have only seen rarely in the winter months just past. In her 2019 Lent book, The Merciful Humility of God, Jane Williams writes that Lent is not primarily about giving things up or denying ourselves. It is about finding ourselves, where our self-image has been built on shaky foundations that don't stand up to the scrutiny of God, or to changes in our human circumstances. From the temptation in the wilderness, she writes, through his ministry to its inevitable conclusion on the cross, we are seeing what the life of God looks like in our human world. As we walk the way with Jesus, we are relearning the human vocation, called to live and work with God for our good and the good of all creation. Jesus' way of being in the world suggests that love is the main definition of God's power. Let us pray. We pray today for the people of Ukraine. We pray for people who do not have the power to make choices, especially those who live in places where decisions are made with which they disagree, but to which they have no opportunity to object. And those who are unable, because of illness or because of their circumstances, to have control of their lives. We pray for ourselves, that we make the choices that are appropriate, and that we follow the way which is right for us. Thank you for joining me on this week's reflection. I hope you have a good week. Do join us again if you can, either in person or online. God bless you.